There's one thing Jesus is really good at. It is challenging his listeners. Over and over and over in the gospel, just one challenge after another after another. And I think this gospel is certainly no exception. In some ways, it kind of ranks up there, I think, toward the height. And especially, look, he's sitting there with the Pharisees and the tax collectors both, and he's looking at the Pharisees, and he says, let me tell you this parable. And so, you know, the story of the parable, of the Pharisee who goes and makes this prayer. You know, I'm not dishonest, I'm not greedy, I'm not adulterous, I fast, I pay my tithes, I'm a good guy. Right? And you look at the Pharisees, and there's Pharisees alive and well today. It's not, that hasn't gone away. In our society, we have our Pharisees. But, you know, those are the religious people. Those are the good people. Those are the ones, you know, those are good things. We don't want to be greedy. Don't want to be adulterous. So, I mean, look, I get a gold star. I've done those things. And Jesus telling the Pharisees directly to them, like, that's not what counts. And you could just feel the tension. If their ego gets poked a little bit and they get insulted, and you could just hear them huffing and like getting up, slamming the tables and walking out the door. Who does this Jesus think he is? He can tell us what, right? You get a sense of all of that from the gospel today. And then the sense of the tax collector who understands his position. Can't even raise his eyes to heaven. Have mercy on me, a sinner. But I guess the thing I want to point out today is the nature, so to speak, of the Pharisee's prayer. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity. Who is the Pharisee praying to? Himself. Who is he addressing as God? Himself. He wouldn't tell you that. He would tell you, I'm praying to God. I'm praying to Elohim. But what Jesus' whole point is, the Pharisee's God is himself. By his own righteousness, by his own acts, by his own attaboy, way to go, you're doing such a great job. He has made himself his own God. This week we were we had our clergy conference, and so all the priests of the diocese got together, and Father John Ricardo, who has the Acts 29 group, and he's from up in Detroit. He also runs the Rescue Project. He was our retreat master for the week, and it's just a very, very good week. Just he challenged us priests quite a bit. But one of the things, one of his sessions that he was talking about was about idols, having idols. And I don't know about you, but like I don't have a propensity towards like making a golden calf and putting it in my living room and burning incense and bowing down to it. Like I think most of us are pretty good on that front in terms of worshiping idols in that sense. But he gave a definition to an idol that I've never heard before, and it was incredibly challenging. He defined idols as anything or anyone that occupies more space in our mind and our heart than God. Let me say that again. An idol is anything or anyone that occupies more space in your mind and heart than God. Oh, no. Ooh. So he encouraged us. Go, all right, all the priests, go take 30 minutes and just ask the Lord very directly, point blank. Lord, show me, reveal to me, what is my idol? It's a scary thing to pray. But I did it. I went to the chapel there at the Spiritual Life Center, and I said, all right, Lord, let me know. What is my idol? And honestly, I was expecting something like my phone or you know, travel, or because I love traveling. I was expecting one of those things to be it. And his response, he spoke to me. I'm telling you, he spoke very clearly And it's been a while since I've heard the Lord speak this directly to my heart. And I was completely convicted. It caught me off guard because I was not expecting what he said. Curtis, your idol is the priesthood. What? Your idol is the priesthood. That I really do strive to be a good priest. I'd like to be seen as a good priest. I'd like to be seen as competent. I do everything I can to, like, I want to see my flock grow. I lay down my life. I know that's what I'm called to. But there is nothing that pushes God out of my prayer more quickly than my priesthood. What I mean by that is it's easy for me to go to my chapel in the morning. Every morning I go to pray, and honestly, sometimes my prayer turns into a to-do list of things I have to accomplish that day. Or people that I'm praying for, and I bring them to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, here's all the people that need healing. Here's all the people who are struggling in their marriages. Here's all the people who, here's all these things that I need to do throughout this day. Help me, give me the grace to do this. Let me tell you how to do your job. That's essentially what my prayer boils down to. And in the process of doing that, I push God off to the side. And I can spend an entire hour of prayer without ever actually encountering the Lord. And my priesthood becomes a distraction. And they're all good things. That's the scary part, guys. Idols aren't necessarily just for the crack addict living under a bridge. Good things can become an idol if it occupies more of our heart and mind than the Lord. Your spouse or significant other. Motherhood or fatherhood, your job, your career, your business, your occupation. None of those are bad things. But if they push the Lord off to the side and make him a side, the Lord does not share, he does not share with other gods, with false idols. He has to be first. And I think a lot of us, at least for me, I just kind of assume, like, in some ways, it's like, I love my God, my God is over here, and I pursue the Lord with everything, and over here is like my family and my kids and my career, and I'm a split between the two. Which direction am I supposed to go? And I think, brothers and sisters, that is an absolute false dichotomy. It's diabolical. I think the devil is the one who will try to tell us that we have to choose one or the other. But in reality, it's like more like this, that God is my ultimate target. He is my ultimate goal, and I love him, and I pursue him through the midst of my family and my motherhood and my fatherhood and my children and my spouse and my career. It's oriented towards the Lord and not opposed to him. But we can make it opposed, where we pursue this and cast God off to the side. And in the process of doing that, we make ourselves the God, essentially. I'm pursuing what I want to do. Lord, just give me your rubber stamp of like, okay, you're doing great, and I've got this. So we are in the middle of our, you know, stewardship renewal, and, you know, stewardship, the kind of the typical time, talent, and treasure. And so in terms of time, in terms of stewarding and returning our time to the Lord, most of the time, and I think rightfully so, we hear that and we think of like, okay, how can I volunteer? What can I do? What do we need around the church? Okay, I'll mow the grass, I'll lector, I'll usher, I'll whatever those things are, I'll donate my time and give that back. And all those things are good, and we need that stuff to happen. But I would say that the number one, by not even in the same category, the most important way to steward your time is to give it back to the Lord. I think the average person spends between 4 and 5 hours a day on their phone, like this. Can you cut out 30 minutes of that time and redirect it back to God? What occupies more of your heart and your mind? Television, sports, and unfortunately, a lot of times we train our children to put these idols in their lives when we say, okay, it's the soccer weekend, it's volleyball weekend, we can't make it to Mass because the tournament's too long, oh well, we'll catch it next week, and we train our children to put an idol in front of the Lord. It's challenging, and it's supposed to be challenging. But as we look at stewarding our gifts, and by far, the most important gift we have is our time. There's nothing more valuable than our time. We must return that to the Lord, at least a portion of it. And not all prayer is created equal, as you can clearly see in the gospel. Not all prayer is created equal. If all you do is sit down and run through your list of things, that's better than nothing. And I would take that if that's where we're starting at. But to give the Lord silence. And so, if you want a homework assignment for this week, you're the eager beavers, eager achievers here, and I'm warning you, it's kind of scary. Your homework assignment is to take 30 minutes throughout this week at some point and go ask the Lord, what is my idol? What is it that occupies more of my heart and my mind that needs to be reoriented in line with you? If you ask him that, if you give him the time and the silence, he will answer. And it probably is not going to be the thing you expect. May we be good stewards of our time, and may we put the Lord first in our lives.